I also saw another Banting Park beauty. Jaden Donald was also part of that posse or lynch mob going after. Good job by Zerba. It took like six guys to finally tackle him. He's got great quickness.
He was pretty fast.
So now we got 3rd and 15 as the clock winds, 2:23 and counting. Twins right, single receiver left, pistol formation with Zerbel behind Curtis. And now Curtis looking downfield to his right. It's a float over the middle. He's got a guy. Oh, Evan Stout.
Almost intercepted.
Almost
by
a pick. And Stout's mad at himself because he thought he should have picked it. And I believe the first time today, Johnny, the punter is introducing himself. Coming out to the game. He's probably glad. He's probably freezing over there sitting. So, wow, big stand. And I'm trying to get a number on this punter here. What's that? Is that 42? Yeah. He kicked off one time.
It is now final. KM has beaten
Muskego. Alex Wolf, the punter. And KM has won at Muskego 8-7. Wow, what a nail biter. And back to receive, I believe, is Chris Flowers at about the 48. Standing on Blackie's tail. Here's the snap. Good snap. Not much pressure. And it's going to take a hop. And it's it takes a friendly north bounce. And it's going to be spotted right at the 40. Nice looking boot there by Chang. A lot of credit on that. But still good field position for the Black Shirts with 1:56 left in the third quarter. Trailing 28-6.
That kick goes out of bounds, spotted near the 40.
And I know it's wishful thinking, Johnny, but if the Black Shirts can score in this drive, I think you go for the, you get the 1 point.
Yep, make it a two-score contest.
Make it a two-score contest, because then really it's only one of those touchdowns you need to get the two-point conversion. So taking care of business while you can. Black Shirts offense huddling around Coach Wiltz. So I won't say it's a game yet, but it's certainly interesting here.
It is. It's a little chess match going on.
You know, good drive by Black Shirts. And
would love to see a score here by the Black Shirts.
So twin packages both sides. Ball on the right hash of the 40-yard line. Almost a pistol formation there with number 29. Flanker goes in motion from the right to left. That's Carranza. Snap. It's a quick toss to the tailback. Breaks once. Oh, he cuts out.
He's got some room.
He's got some room.
He's got
50, 45, 40, 35. Brought down near the 30.
What a play.
What a run. We don't have a name for this guy.
No name, crazy legs.
Oh, that's Tyler Williams now in the tailback spot. I stand corrected. I thought it was 29.
What a great run.
Thrill Williams, the senior, the big run. He should have been tackled
nice.
By the line. Yeah. Twin packages, both sides, bottom left hash. Williams on Jimenez's left. Here's a snap. Fakes to Williams. He's going to keep it now. And he goes. He bulls over Zerbo for about a 3-yard gain. Got a little help there from 64 from North.
Number 16, Jimenez, the quarterback keeper.
So Ezra Rivera helping out again. 121 and counting. Twin packages both sides. Ball in the right hash here. It's second and seven. Williams on Jimenez's left. Here's the snap. Jimenez rolls out left now, looking downfield. Going for Stout again.
Oh, my God, he's open.
And it's
Stout's got it. Touchdown.
Stout. Touchdown. Evan Ryan Stout.
Way to go,
he
Evan.
He had to fight that one away from the defender. And he won. The taller guy won.
They both had it down, and he just fought it right out of the guy's
hands.
I love
the play. I love the call. So now it's 28-12 with 1 minute, 1 second left in the third quarter. And it's getting louder here on the south side of the field. I think they should go for one here, Johnny. I don't know.
Well, they're
Jimenez
trying to
comes back in yet. They want to do it now, get the two.
What a great play by Stout.
Sure was. And, you know, a good look by Jimenez, even though Stout was well covered. That's why you like those taller receivers. Twin packages both sides. Williams on Jimenez's right. Flanker in motion from the left to the right. Jimenez looks to the right. Quick pass. He's got Stout. Stout fights forward, but denied.
He's just
great
short.
Support by the North Stars.
Yeah,
Elijah Mead had him, and a couple other North Stars helped push him out. Stout was making good progress, but
just couldn't get it in that extra
D'Angelo
yard.
Rivera putting in the final touch to Yeah, D'Angelo Rivera. So good stand there by the North. It's 28-12 with 101 remaining in the third quarter. And, Johnny, I still think you pin them back again like you did on the last one.
I agree.
Kick it shallow enough that it might create some confusion between the up back and the receiver. Your North just said, kind of unorthodox, they had one back receiver there. And I guess they were playing up on for the onside. It's going to be the same formation. That will be Elijah Mead all by himself in the deep.
Lemus. I got to tell you, I just really like that last play on that touchdown. Stout and that
sure
defender
yep.
were both had that ball, and he just used his body and his strength, and he twisted it away from him. He just used his body
and
twisted it away.
Fell into the end zone, yep.
You know?
So two touchdowns for Evan Stout tonight. Two touchdown passes for Ben Jimenez. So a good way to finish off your senior year. Let's see if they can keep the streak going here. Lemus gets ready, the kick, and it's deep again, going to Mead, takes a hop, he's going to catch it at the one, he's going to his right, and he's met by a couple of Blackshirts, tackle the 16, so great coverage by the Blackshirts.
Yep.
And Blackshirt Nation's loving it from this side.
Just feel Mr. Mojo rising over here on the Blackshirt side of the field.
You sure do.
Tackle by number two, Adriel Diaz.
A lot of spirit and fight in these black shirt football players. Not giving up on a damn thing. Like watching that.
They sure are. So we got twins left, single receiver right, ball in the right hash here. Right wing tight end. Zerbel on Curtis's left. It's a handoff to that tight end coming out. He switches faces.
Switches
That's Elijah Mead. Wow. And he's got first down yards. That's he's still on his feet. Finally brought down at the 36. So big run by Elijah Mead doing it all by himself.
It really was, man.
He was lined up in a wing like flanker or a wing like tight end or slot back
14,
spot.
Mead, the ball carried for North.
And he took the handoff going left and he switched
back, went right. And
so he got all the way to the 35.
He ran 50 yards
gain.
To get 30.
Yeah, he sure did. 19-yard gain there. Or actually, no, yeah, 20, yep. So twins left, single receiver right, ball on the right hash. Pistol formation with Zerbel behind Curtis. 26 seconds left in the third quarter. A 28-12 North Star lead. It's handed off to Zerbel up the middle. And he met by some black shirts for a short gain there. Good job on that.
Not much up the gut.
Logan Tank Dable in on that tackle.
Tackle by two, Adriel Diaz.
And number two, Adriel Diaz.
Gain of three on the play, second
and
seven for North.
So it's second and seven. They called it a three-yard gain. Now we have a timeout, and let's see who's calling it here.
That's
the end of the quarter. So, hey, we'll take a break, too, here with the Blackshirts trailing on Waukesha North, 28-12. We'll take a quick 30-second break and be right back. Anya, take it away.
Dig out your lederhosen. It's time for Oktoberfest in La Crosse, September 28th through the 30th. 3 days featuring German food and beer, Stein races, barrel rolling, and the best in live music, polka bands. Celebrate the friendliest fest in the Midwest, Oktoberfest in La Crosse, Thursday through Saturday, September 28th to the 30th at the Oktoberfest grounds. Find more information at OktoberfestUSA.com. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
Welcome back, everyone, to Ken Hollow Stadium in Waukesha, Wisconsin. We're watching Waukesha South play Waukesha North, and what a contest we've got here as of late. The guests are 28, and we're 12. Don, what do you think?
It's becoming more of a game, Johnny. We came out trailing 21-0 to start the half. North Star scored first, and then two unanswered touchdowns by the Blackshirts. But now North is moving the ball here. Second and seven here from their own 37-yard line. Twins right, single receiver left, pistol formation. Mead goes in motion from a flank spot. They give it to Zerbel, and they got him for a short loss. No, a short gain, but great
almost
job
Almost had him
there.
For a loss.
And that was Adriel Diaz tripping him up.
North going with a hurry-up offense.
North's on the hurry-up, yep. So that was actually a loss of it. No, still second and third and seven. No, second and seven, excuse me. Actually, that should be third down, I think, isn't it?
No.
Third and seven. Yeah, third and seven, yep. So he faked the handoff. This is Elijah Mead on the end around. They get him again.
Got him.
Nice job there.
Not going anywhere.
Ben Jimenez kept him inside, and Logan Tank Dable finished him off.
Fourth down. Here comes the punting unit.
Great team effort. And here comes the punting unit again. Chang out again to punt for the Black Shirts.
Making this a game.
Chris Flowers back to receive. The punt will be punter's back at about the 23-yard line. And Flowers is lined up close to the 35, his own 35. Last second addition here. The right guard comes in for the punt team. 10:54 and counting here in the final quarter. A low snap, pressure. Gets off a good punt, though. He picks it up. Goes around one tackler, another, and he pushes forward to about the 31, 30-yard line. So about a 3-yard gain on the return. Chris Flowers. So the Black Shirts are back in business here, trailing 28-12. 10:41, a lot of football left to be played.
Decent field position, but Don.
Blackshirts got to move quickly here, especially since they haven't made their conversions.
Yep, this is going to be a two-possession deal here.
So I think you try to score, look downfield like they had. They've had a lot of success finding Stout downfield, and I think that'll open things up maybe for Williams and for Flowers and the other receivers. And here comes Jimenez and company. First and 10, their own 31, 10:41 remaining, a 28-12 Waukesha North lead. Blackshirt is responsible for the last two touchdowns. Here they come. Ball's on the left hash, trips right, single receiver left. Tailback on the quarterback's left. Here's a snap, low snap, Jimenez hands it off. No, oh, fumble.
Oh, no.
And North has it, they're it's in the air. It's going to be a touchdown. Touchdown, North Stars!
There's a flag.
But there is a flag.
Block in the back.
Block in the back. Oh, a tough break. Confusion on the handoff there between Jimenez and Williams. And
yeah, they're going to call that one.
You know, when you don't have, Williams hasn't really played tailback much this season, but it's not, it'll still be North Stars' ball. It just won't be a touchdown. I think I'd almost rather give it the touchdown so we get the ball back, Johnny, but. Ezra Rivera with the recovery. Rivera, the senior. And, you know, really, that was, again, self-destruction there. Nothing really North did on that to create that turnover. It was a big. And it's really too bad after all that momentum, Johnny.
Yeah, it really is. Well.
But Blackshirt defense back on the field. They've stopped on North twice. Let's see if they can do it again here.
Mental toughness.
Yep. Now we got an I formation here. Triple I formation with Curtis under center. No receivers. 10:33 left in the game. And it's a handoff up the middle to Zerbel. No, he's going to his left. Oh, breaks outside. Good yardage by Zerbel.
Boy, tough run.
Couple opportunities. They could have had him behind the line there. But he gets instead. He gets first down yardage. The elusive Aiden Zerbel.
Number three, Aiden Zerbel, the ball carrier for North.
I believe that's an 11-yard gain as the chains move. And it's they're at the 12-yard line. They're in 8-down territory, Johnny. They can get another first down here if they can't get past the cones. So same formation here. The old Army triple I formation. Love it. Oh, now they're moving to the right. Now it's a single I back. Double tight ends right. Hand off to Zerbel to his right on a misdirection. He's going to his left here. And he's finally pushed out of bounds at about the one or two.
Boy, stopped 1 yard short of the goal line.
South fans are lobbying for a fumble in the end zone that went out of bounds. That should be a touchback. Coach Wiltz, Coach Stillman are signaling touchback. Ball's at the 1 yard line. You know, from this side of the field, you know, we don't have the best vantage point. Same thing, triple I formation here. AJ Cook under center. 9:58, clock stops with the player out of bounds. And there's a handoff up the middle, up the gut, and that's a touchdown. North Stars. And that's number five, Julian Hernandez, who's had a great game on defense. So make that 34-12 in favor of the North Stars. So it was looking very promising for the Black Shirts with back-to-back touchdowns. An offensive turnover on a simple handoff turns into plays later, a North Star touchdown as Romano comes out. Connor Curtis holding. Snap, hold, is good. Good job by Curtis. It was a wide snap, and Curtis reeled it in. So make that 35-12 with 9:54 left. And we'll keep it here, the Blackshirt Football Radio Network, live and local at Ken Holub Stadium. It's really been a fun game in spite of just some mental breakdowns by
it's
the Blackshirts.
It's been pretty interesting.
Yeah,
I mean,
they fought back, you know.
The last quarter, you know, we haven't seen a game this year where the guys were throwing punches.
That
was a first for me, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, a little chippy.
Yep.
I don't think there's a lot of love lost.
Well, but that's more, that it's dynamic kind of, exists kind of high, more between South emotion. And West. South and North are usually pretty, they're friendlier rivals. So, yeah, this thing's just got a little out of hand there. But let's see, 4, 8, 9, 10, 11. They got their 11, and it's Tyler Williams, the lone back. Chang is going to kick it again for the North Stars, number 42. Oh, no, I'm sorry, Alex Wolf is the kicker. And Wolf has also been punting. Alex Wolf, the senior. And here it comes. And he squibs it. It's up the middle. It's fielded. Oh, squibs, but he does pick it up. Got good job going upfield. He's pushing forward. He's all the way near the 45. Good effort there by the return. I'm trying to get
that
the number
was a
on
good
that.
Return.
I'm trying to see who that was. It might have been Flowers on that. Yeah, Chris Flowers. So they had Flowers on an up-back position as a North Star is injured. So time will stop with 9:45 as they look at the injured North Star. Hopefully, it looks just like a cramp the way he's holding his leg up. So could be a little of that pickle juice for the remedy that South seems to have in abundance.
You know, I had some pickle juice the other night.
You're going to pickle some eggs, you said, right, for the
players'
parents tomorrow?
I think I got to do store-bought there, but
maybe do some deviled eggs?
Yeah, right. I thought you were making some Irish coffee.
I would. If you know, we have an urn. I should ask my wife about that. We just have to transport. You know, keeping it hot is the challenge. We don't have the
– yeah.
It's the old-school urn.
Well,
but
maybe we can figure something out for you, Don.
Yeah. Well, yeah, if you can plug it in, that was the thing. If they can, I'm sure they got electric there out of the Rupnose car. Eric and Larissa. And the player's on his feet. That's the good news. And I think it's just a cramp. Yep, he's hobbling. I favor in the right leg, but I think it's more of a cramp than anything else. So getting a little help from the training staff, but he seems to be okay. So good to see. Number 28 was the injured North Star. And his orange shoes, must be a Carroll fan, Johnny. I bet you'll be tuning in for tomorrow's broadcast. Jamarian Mallory, outside linebacker, senior, was the one shaken up on that return. So here come the Black Shirts. Ball on the right hash. Trips left, single receiver right, tailback on Jimenez's right. Stout goes in motion from the left to the right. Here's the snap. Jimenez rolls out right. He's going to run this one. Get some positive yardage to about the 49. So gain of about four there. Good little start here for the Black Shirts. My hope here, Johnny, is that they're setting up something bigger here with that.
Yeah, me too.
Otherwise, we'll be here all night on this drive, and we just don't have any time, really. Like, we got to make this interesting.
Yeah, well.
So I think Hector Carranza comes in the game now for South.
North has got that free safety playing awfully far back.
They sure do.
To avoid anything
Webster,
deep.
Yeah. So right now we got a ball on the right hash, twins left, single receiver right, wing left, And then tailback on Jimenez's left. So they might go to the right to, I think that's Williams. There's a snap. Fakes a handoff. Downfield. It's caught.
Got him.
Beautiful catch there. Adriel Diaz. I didn't even see him. He must have been in that wing left spot. Blackshirt's lining it up now. Clock stops for a moment at 8:48 while they adjust the chains. Now they're back in business here. Twins left, single receiver right. Tailback on Jimenez's left. Here's a snap. It's a quick pitch to Williams on the left. Some good blocking. Williams pushes through. And it's another decent gain of about four to the 34. So good little design play there.
Not a big fan of that because they're burning so much clock, Don.
That's true, but at least they're getting positive yardage and they're setting up. And I think if the idea is, I think if you get the North D to cheat in a little, you might hit somebody long. So ball in the left hash here. Twins left, single receiver right. Tailback on Jimenez's right. 8:09 and counting, a 35-12 North lead. Here's a snap. Jimenez going out to the right. A design run, and he does push forward for maybe a yard, but not much there. Great pursuit by the North D.
16, Jimenez would be quarterback keeper.
So, but I agree with you there, Johnny.
Third down.
7:51 and counting here in the game. And now it's third down, third and about six here. Twins left, single receiver, right ball on the left hash. Tailback on Jimenez's left. Here's a snap. It's a quick pitch to Williams again. He's got some blocking. He's got first down yardage and dragged out of bounds at the 21. So the black shirts will move the chains again. And the clock should stay stopped because he was tackled out of bounds. 7:31 remaining, a 35-12 North lead. A good drive going here for the black shirts. Start from their own 45. Now they're at the 24 of North, first and 10. So I think now you start to look for the end zone, Johnny.
Yeah, that was a little smarter play, that last one where they went for the
Blocking was great, and Williams found the hole beautifully.
Yep.
Twins right, single receiver. Twins left, single receiver right. Ball on the left hash, tailback. Williams on Jimenez's left. Here's the snap. Fakes the snap to Williams. He's going deep. He's got a guy. Oh, he underthrows Williams. Flowers. It's a great cut by Flowers. Good idea, but Jimenez just undershot him. Good coverage there by the North secondary. I know they're playing a little deeper here in a prevent scenario. Good news is the clock stops with 7:27 left, second and 10 from the 24. Blackshirts trailing North 35-12. It's a game that's really had its peaks and valleys, Johnny.
It really has.
It was 7-0 for most of the first half. And then North started to pull away, making it 21-0 with 21 seconds left. And then they scored in the opening drive of the second half. But Blackshirts had two unanswered touchdowns. We're ready to start on their third before a fumble. So here it is. It's a fake handoff. Jimenez up the middle here. He's going to get some positive yardage, but only about one or two. And again, Yanni, as you'd say, not the call you'd want to make with this much time left. 7:13 and counting.
16, Jimenez would be
and it's now it's about third and eight. Third and eight here. Ball spotted on the 22 of the North Stars. And they certainly got to move quicker in this, Johnny. I'm reading your mind here.
Yeah, well, you know, you are reading my mind.
Trips right, single receiver left, ball in the left hash, tailback on Jimenez's left. Now I think they're going to look towards the end zone here on the right side. Here's a snap. Jimenez, quick pass to the right. Got Flowers. Well covered by the North Stars. And that's, again, no gain here. Clock rolls. Run 6:31 and
Ezra Rivera
in on the tackle, wreaking some havoc on some former baseball teammates from his 7th and 8th grade days. 6:18 and counting. Blackshirts are huddling here now, and a timeout is called by South.
Timeout taken by the Blackshirts.
That's their second timeout, so they got one left.
You know, they wait 22 seconds to call a timeout.
Yeah.
You know, and, well, hey, you know, that's why they're down there and I'm up here.
Yeah, you and me both. But
right?
But I think the way that they were passing the ball, even to start this drive, that they would they'd look downfield a little bit more.
I thought so too, Don.
I like throwing in a designed run. You know, I like the way Williams runs the ball.
Yeah.
But I think With him as a tailback, you could even work on if you roll out right and you get Williams out in receiver mode. Because you hit him under coverage and he can break some tackles and he's got the speed and quickness to do something like that. But I think they got to – well, now they don't have a choice here. It's 4th and 9. They got to go deep. I wouldn't be surprised if Coach Ciano sends the house here on this play. But they also may just be playing in a prevent situation. Blackstars don't need to get it out here. They just need to get to the 13 for a first down. .607, your time remaining in the game here. A 35-12, North Star lead. Trips right, single receiver left, tailback on Jimenez's left. Ball closer to the right hash here on this big 4th and 9 play. Here's a snap. Jimenez fades back, looking to the end zone. He's got time. Now he rolls left here. He's going to pass it. He's going for the end zone, and it's – oh!
Thank you.
Get with
the refs,
really, nobody there in the corner.
Oh, we got a black shirt down on the 5-yard line.
Who's that?
Number 10.
Oh, no, Tyler Williams.
He's in agony.
That's too bad. I don't know what happened there, but
– I didn't see it either. I was watching the ball.
He's holding – looks like he's favoring his leg there, but I think play took too long to develop, and I'd rather would have seen Jimenez roll to his right, especially with the receivers on that side.
Yeah, so he had trips right, and I thought he was going to roll to the right and try to do something in
the
corner.
Yeah, I would have too. He had plenty of time. And yeah. I think is you send two guys long and you keep one guy back to get the 12-yard reception and just get the first.
A couple guys blocking, get the first, right? You know, live to play another series.
Yeah, but as it is, the North Stars will take over on downs. And while we were kind of hoping against hope there, it's certainly fairly academic now that this should be a North Star victory here with 5:56 remaining, as long as they're taking care of the ball. And I think the focus will be here. You know, they'll be taking over at their own 21, and I'm thinking they're going to be running the ball, taking some time off the clock. Blackshirts have only one timeout. And I hope Tyler Williams is doing fine. Again, his junior year was cut short after an injury in the second game of the season out there at West Dallas, Nathan Hale. And so this was a very important year for him to get some looks, get some film. He's a great student, honor roll student, great athlete, as we've seen tonight.
Yeah.
So hopefully this it looks like he's sitting up from what we can see here. He is standing up here. That's the good news. And he's on his own.
He's kind of walking it off. That's good.
He's walking off a little bit here. He's actually rolling his sock up, so I think Tyler should be okay.
Could have been a left knee or something impacting him there.
So he's
getting
actually
some help coming off.
Yep. It's hard to see which leg he's favoring. Maybe it's the left leg he's favoring.
I think it's the left one.
But Coach Wiltz is helping him off the field along with a teammate there. And, great coverage by that North secondary. And Elijah Mita almost had an interception in the end zone, but it's probably better off he dropped it as North takes over and downs from their own 21. So the incomplete interception is a gain of one, a 1-yard net gain.
Yeah.
So here comes Curtis and company with the shotgun T formation with single receivers on either side. 5:56 remaining, a 35-12 lead. He's going to hand it off to Holmes from the right to the left, and Holmes pushes forward for about 5. Good effort there by Holmes going up the middle. Through the one hole there, coming from the left to the right. Wind seems to come out a little heavier and a little rain. And again, everyone's been invited to the ice cream social in the cafeteria. So single receiver right and left. A shotgun T formation, as I like to call it. With Holm and Webster, I believe that is, on either side of A.J. Curtis. 5:20 and counting in the game. 2nd and 7. That was a 3-yard gain in the previous play. And here's a snap. It's a handoff now from the left to the right. And he's got first down yardage, so North will move the chains. Nice looking run there with great blocking. And
he had a big hole there.
That was Webster, number 0. Jason Webster, the junior. So ball marked at the 36, 5:02 and counting. 35-12. And, again, like the priority here for North is to take some time off the clock. So I don't think you'll see many passes here, Johnny. Single receivers, both sides. The shotgun T formation, which seems to be working well for North here. 4:44 and counting. First and 10. And Curtis gets a snap. It's a handoff to Holmes on the left. Cuts through a few tacklers and more positive yardage. A 7-yard gain there. All the way to the 42 of the North Stars here. So make that second and 7. Ball at the 43, they're calling it. 4:15 and counting. Ben Jimenez on the tackle. So same formation, single receivers either side. A shotgun T formation for A.J. Curtis in his last game as a North Star Gritter. But we'll be seeing him on the hardwood and on the diamond later this year. That's going to Holmes again on the left. Good blocking. He cuts away outside. And, a great tackle there in the open field. But it's still first down yardage.
Clock is going to run.
Number 9.
And who was on the tackle? Is that Chris Flowers?
Tackle by number 17, Gabe
Lascano, with a great tackle there. I like Holmes cut it outside and looked like he was going to get some more yardage, but Lascano pursued him really well. And even though his first down yardage was only a gain of 2, ball at the 47 of the North Stars, 3:27 and counting. Again, single receivers both sides. Ball on the left hash, a shotgun T formation for Curtis with Holmes and Webster as his running backs. 4-2 defense for the Blackshirts. Here's a snap. Now they're going from the left to the right with Webster. He cuts in, breaks one tackle, and he's cutting across the field now for more first down yardage. So really great patience by Webster, waiting for his blocks and pushing through.
It was. Left, right, middle.
So Hector Carranza comes in along with
picking up
Logan Tankdable. And young Jaden Donald comes out for the Blackshirts. 2:50 remaining in the game here. First and 10 at the Blackshirts 41. Single receivers both sides. Shotgun T formation for A.J. Curtis. Webster on his left, Holmes on his right. Here's a snap. It's going to go to Holmes, going to the left. Runs into a couple Blackshirts, but still manages to get 4 yards on that. One black shirt looks shaken up there. That might be Diaz again holding his arm or his.
Number 9, Ethan Holmes Walker.
So it's now second and 6. Ball at the 37 of the black shirts. Clock winding, 2:11 and counting. And it's a shotgun T formation here. Meade comes in motion but stays on the right. Clock winding under 2 minutes now here on this second and 7. Curtis gets the snap. And he fakes. He's going to keep it himself. He's got some running room. He's got first down yardage and then some.
Uh-oh.
He's heading for the end zone. Touchdown, A.J. Curtis. Make that 41-12 as we await the extra point. What a run by Curtis on the keeper.
That was.
Again, he's done a great job with that sleight of hand, Johnny.
Yeah, he's a pretty good faker.
You do that well enough and you're freezing defenders. And
he did.
Cutting up field the way he did, reversing field. Went to his right and then switched gear to the middle. And
a little salt in the wound here tonight.
So now Alex Wolf will get to kick the extra point with Connor Curtis holding. I'm always tempted to call him Connor Cook after one of my favorite college quarterbacks at Michigan State. Here's the hold, the snap. And, it's blocked! Wolf's kick is blocked. So that was number 52 is not on the roster. Got a piece of that. So he's got a souvenir of memories to take home after that play. Gets a big hug from his coaches. So 1:46 left. What is essentially the final drive of the season for the Blackshirt offense. Who, it's really since the first game of the season that they've had more than that they've really had any second half points that I can recall, although Evan Stout caught one the game we weren't at against West, but it'd be great to see them come out with a positive spin. And the North coaching crew already shutting down camp. They've done their job tonight and supporting the North Stars from up above here, and they get the call to come home early.
Yeah, they do.
And we'll look forward to seeing them in the Parkland Conference, as well as on hopefully on the hardwood this winter if we get the call. So, and don't forget, on This Week in Waukesha, my guest tomorrow is Alderman Mike Krizine, and calling in will be head coach Mike Budashevsky, as Carroll celebrates its homecoming tomorrow, and he'll be talking about their big matchup, conference matchup against Elmhurst, as the Pioneers look to get their fourth win of the season. Alex Wolf kicking off again for the Blackshirts. Excuse me, for the North Stars. Back to receive for the Blackshirts, I believe, is Zayas DeWalt. Let's see. Yep. Oh, trouble with the snap. Picks it up at the 10. Runs into a host. No, he goes around him. Oh, finally tripped up. Good shoestring tackle there. Otherwise, he had some room to run there. So after poor handling on the kickoff, Jerron Carter, that's who it was. So here come the Blackshirts. And many of the seniors are out there to finish up. 1:38 is your time remaining. Ball on the right hash at the 20. Twins left, single receiver right. Tailback on Jimenez's left. Here's a snap. Jimenez rolls out left. It's a design run, it looks like. Yep. And, oh, he gets around one block, and he's got about a 3-yard gain there, so a good little run. And
number 12, Hector Carranza, the quarterback.
Oh, that's actually Hector Carranza, the senior. So they'll let Carranza get a few plays before his career finishes. Carranza started the season, started the first three games, I believe. So it's good to see Hector running the ball there, showing some speed, and let's see if they let him air it out here. Ball on the left hash. I think that's what they were setting up here, so he can roll out right. Trips right, single receiver left, tailback on Carranza's right, 1:03 remaining. And it's a handoff up the middle. And he pushes forward for some, maybe not much. I think it's going to be maybe a half a yard if they give him that. As the clock runs, 50 seconds left. Maybe time for one more play. And
16,
Blackshirts have one timeout left. Oh, Jimenez got to run that one. Jimenez was playing tailback. So third and five here. 34 seconds remaining. Blackshirts. Let's see if they can keep this drive going. And it's going to be twin packages both sides. No, trips right. Single receiver left. 23 seconds remaining. Carranza the quarterback. Jimenez on his right. 17 seconds. Better get the playoff here, gentlemen. Here's a snap. Carranza rolls out right. He's going to run it. He's got some room upfield. He's got first down yardage. And he's there. Pushed out of bounds with 6 seconds left. 5 seconds.
Number 12, Hector Carranza.
They're running the clock.
They're
it's over.
They're going to run the clock, and that'll do it. So Waukesha North wins the crosstown battle in this homecoming game for South, beating the Blackshirts 41-12, but it was certainly an entertaining game, Johnny.
It was. There were some exciting moments there.
Sure
saw
was.
Some things I haven't seen all season.
Yep.
So it was pretty interesting, and weather conditions certainly impacted this contest.
No doubt. So, well, I want to thank everyone for joining us. I want to thank Anya back at the studio. Congratulations on the Blackshirts for a valiant effort this season, and to Waukesha North for the victory. And I just want to say good luck to both teams as they get ready for competition in the Parkland Conference next year, and happy to be out of the Classic 8. So thanks again for joining us. Remember, safety is everyone's responsibility. Waukesha North beats Waukesha South 41-12. And remember, on my show on This Week in Waukesha tomorrow, 8, join me with Alderman Mike Krizine, and calling in Coach Mike Budashevsky from Carroll. So thanks again for joining us tonight. We'll see you tomorrow at 8. And remember, safety is everyone's responsibility. And Johnny, see ya!
we're at least a year away from, a little over a year away from the next election.
Yeah.
Most people have lives. They're doing other things other than, you know, playing the horse race politic of the presidential race. And the Republicans have a primary. And, well, I think you want, if you want to call it a primary. And there's some energy on that side, you know, because, you know, there's something there. As we're Democrats and, you know, Biden supporters are going, hey, I got a life. I trust what the guy's doing. He's doing a good job. There's not chaos every day. You know, could it be that? Could it be they're just not paying attention?
Part of it could be they're not paying attention. And part of it could be that they're just not satisfied no matter what he does at this point in time. At this point in time.
Because they're Americans.
So let's take a Democratic voter who's really kind of like, I'm a little weak on Biden-Harris. I've got other things I'm doing. I'm not impressed with them. So in the polling situations, I'm kind of like, you know, maybe we need another candidate. Now, as the dust settles and there's a candidate, which could be Trump or could not be Trump, but as it settles and it's Trump versus Biden, straight, you know, head on collision next election, then maybe those voters will come home. I had it happen in my elections. I never polled for issues. I don't like polling, and then that's my issue. But I polled for where I was standing. And at one election, you know, the independents were just not there, right? And so by election day, we made enough of an effort that independents came home because my district was 16% Republican index. We had our Democrat base that helped us, which is great, but we needed those independents, and they weren't there. And it was scary, and my pollsters are like, you know, you're in trouble. Well, by election day, when it came down to me and another opponent, we did the right things to get the message out, and they came home. This could be the same thing in this presidential election. Yeah.
We'll see. Because, look, at the end of the day, I think Biden, for me, has exceeded expectations, especially with everything that he's done on the labor side of things. I couldn't, you know, the only thing I could ask for more is to actually, you know, get some legislation passed. But with a dysfunctional House of Representatives, Bob, none of that's going to happen. So I got to ask you, you know, with all of your time that you spend in Congress, have you seen anything this entertaining?
Never. And, you know, I'm watching also members in the meantime doing things that on other issues, just I hate to even get into it, you know, but just doing things and saying things. And Lindsey wants to now bomb Iran, you know, Lindsey Graham. And I'm like, suit him up. Give him an airplane. Let him go. Fly over there, the Lindsey Graham special. And I'm looking at all of this, and there are House Republicans. I've talked to a couple of members, you know, who messaged me, and there are House Republicans that realize that there are, you know, they're in the middle of a meltdown, a potentially fatal political meltdown that could literally, absolutely guarantee they don't have the House in 2024. They'll lose in the election, especially the centrist, you know, Republicans. And then there are those in that House that don't care. Now, why can I criticize them more? If you're a Marjorie Taylor Three Names, and if you're a Matt Gaetz, and if, you know, you're part of the crowd that's really not going to accept anybody, and you're standing up, quote, for your principles, and you really believe you are the right, correct ones, why would you not have the foresight to realize what you are doing is going to make Speaker Hakeem Jeffries in 2024? And it's because they aren't there for the right reasons. They aren't there because they're standing up for principle. They're there for entertainment and personal purposes. That's why.
Yep.
Otherwise, this wouldn't be happening.
No, I absolutely 100% agree. And sadly, you know, we're just with all the chaos around the world and here at home, I agree with Michael McCaul, you know, the Republican from Texas, who's saying, look, you know, there are threats around the world, and one of the biggest ones is in that room, meaning his Republican Party.
Well, and they kind of had a deal, you know. Scalise, if he won, Jordan supports him, was going to nominate him. They had that deal, sort of a, hey, we're going to pick whoever wins out of this caucus.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that. Since you, yeah, I did, I, sure. Because it was, it's my understanding that, you know, Norm's being, you know, you come out of that caucus, you've agreed that this is going to be our guy. Everyone kind of coalesces around the majority won. Elections matter. And it's just, you know, the vote kind of just a, you know, a formality kind of thing. How often have people come out of these conferences, these caucuses, with their nominee and then not get the votes on the floor?
Never in my lifetime.
Yeah, see, that's where I was trying to find this.
Never.
And I'm going, you know, the norm is you respect the election. So again, I'm looking at the chaos that they're causing, and you know, all of the norms of the past, they've just destroyed it. And the sad reality is we're normalizing chaos.
Well, let me tell you real quickly how Denny Hastert became the speaker. I was sitting there. Livingston got tape recorded, you know, or video yeah. recorded on this affair. So he stands in front of us. I'll never forget it. We are about to go upstairs and elect him. And he stands there and says, I'm taking myself out of this race. And we're like, what? And people are yelling, no, no. And he said, no, I have a personal situation. I'm taking myself out of this race. Believe me, I just have to do this. And we're sitting there. And people are then starting, he leaves. People are starting to throw out names. You can see it is just going to be chaos city. Dave Hobson of Ohio, he was a former congressman, started a letter down the row, and he hand wrote it and it said, we want Denny Hastert. He started that down the row. And people started signing it, Then other names were being kind of yelled out because there was no formal process. It didn't matter. There were other names. They didn't want Hastert. They want, you know, Tom DeLay wanted it and all those things. And it ended up, no matter what the minority amount of members in the caucus that didn't want Hastert, didn't matter. Everybody went, okay. You know, everybody raised their hands. That's how it was done. And we put Hastert in. That's just an example of not people being lemmings and following along. It's an example of you take your best shot in a caucus. And if you don't win, you go with what's best for the caucus, which is who the majority picks.
Yeah.
That's how it always happens. This is McCarthy, and now this is the first and second time. Now, Scalise, I had said the other day I thought Scalise would beat Jordan. I had said that. Then Trump comes out. Oh, Scalise, he's got cancer. You know, Trump comes right out and throws a match in the middle of everything.
Leave it to Trump.
That's what he did.
But here's the thing, and this is where you know, hearing you tell this is, you know, you do your pie fighting behind closed doors. You don't
exactly.
take it in, you don't take it out into the public.
You know, Steny Hoyer at one time ran against Nancy Pelosi. I remember the race well. Steny was my ranking member of House Administration. I remember the whole race. He's running. He's aggressively trying to get votes. Nancy's aggressively trying to get votes. Steny was doing good. At the end of the day, Nancy won. You know, they didn't. No one came along and defected on Nancy. And you can say, well, they just go along with the crowd. Well, you know what? That's what you do when you have inter-caucus elections. The majority wins. And you don't then try to take down, you know, the person that won, which is exactly what the Republicans are doing. Neither party has done that historically for years. You see what you get when you do it.
Yeah, but here's the thing. You
just
hit on it. You know, you believed in elections before. These are a bunch of election deniers. So they don't even believe mm-hmm. in the election results that they were in control of.
Of their own caucus, right. And I also think there's the self, and Gingrich actually hit it on the head. I think there are X amount of members that they don't care about being in the majority. You know, he didn't go that far with it, I will. They don't care. They're out there for personal reasons.
No, I said they don't want to be in the majority because they don't have any ideas. They don't want to do the actual
right.
work. They want to be the minority because it's easy to sit on the sidelines and throw bombs and blow stuff up. That's easy. I think you're right. There are some who want to be in the permanent minority because it gives them that power to say no and the attention that comes with it.
Right. A couple of Republican members have actually privately said that's what they think. They, you know, these people aren't And you know how everybody says career politicians, like, is such a filthy word. These people are not what we'll call career politicians. I'll call it people of substance with public policy, you who actually want to make public policy. Yeah. These are people that have come in and they just, you know, they want the 5-minute thrill. They want to, you know, get on the national media and be outrageous so that the national media then will follow them around, you know, till the national media has had their day with them. And then the corporate media takes them out. You know how that runs.
Or they get a gig on one of the cable news channels.
Right.
Think Trey Gowdy.
Sure. Right. Exactly. Right.
And finally, I got to get your thoughts on the George Santos debacle. I guess Wednesday, Republicans were supposed to move a resolution to oust him. That didn't happen. He had a meltdown today over you know, being confronted about Israel. He did not take that well. He looks like he's melting down a little bit.
Yeah, he had what was the mystery baby thing?
I have no idea.
Okay.
I don't know I don't know who in their right mind would hand that man a 2-month-old baby.
I was just going to say, you know, where did the baby thing come from? Is that a prop? Do you rent them or what? Anyway, yeah, I love to, you know, do what we're about in America, which is to say, you know, innocent till proven guilty. And Santos, I can't say it. I mean, he used the corporate credit card and charged all kinds of things that he wanted to. And he lied, you know, on the money he put in, and he was making $8,000 a year. And he said he put a half. I mean, he's done. But it's going to be hard for them to throw him out. And here's why. If they are able to oust him before the trial commences, then somebody else, let's say, who gets in trouble and it's an iffy case, well, they almost have to oust them too. You know, you can't just determine this is the ugly case, this is the iffy case. The iffy case, we won't oust them, we'll wait till the process unfolds. So they're kind of stuck with this. Otherwise, they're going to set a precedent that every time somebody's indicted, and maybe, you know, there has been a history here and there of indictments that were haywire. And if that happens, then they would just throw everybody out automatically. So that's their dilemma on that, you know. But he's done. Yeah. I mean, he's done. He's going to go away.
Maybe he'll share time with Bob Menendez.
He won't. He won't have any babies to hold.
He may. Never mind. Not going there.
No, don't go there. But that mystery baby. You can't make this stuff up.
No. Look, you know, while everything's burning and everything's in chaos, at least we can laugh. At least we still have that, right?
A little bit. Yes, sir.
There you go. Appreciate the time, Bob. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Our good friend Bob Nay. Want to hear your thoughts? Email me, rick@therickSmithShow.com. Gonna take a quick break. Right back to wrap things up. Stick around. Listen to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk. I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in 2. On this day in labor history, the year was 2000. That was the day that newspaper carriers for the San Jose Mercury News ended their walkout. 80% of the newspaper carriers were Vietnamese immigrants to the United States. Many were elderly or recent immigrants with families. The paper carriers often had to get up in the wee hours of the morning to complete their routes. They earned about $6 an hour. The carriers would also have money taken from their paychecks for the people on their routes who were delinquent in paying for their papers. San Jose is part of the tech industry growth of California's Silicon Valley. The economic disparity between the rich and the poor and working class in the area is stark. The newspaper deliverers were classified as independent contractors, meaning they legally had no protections and could not join a union. They knew that they had to work together if they wanted to improve their wages, their hours, and conditions. One carrier explained that the workers' concerns were, quote, thrown in the garbage by our supervisors. The carriers appointed John Hao Do as their spokesperson. They demanded a 20% raise. When management would not listen to their demands, carriers on nearly 50% of the routes stopped delivering the newspapers. The walkout lasted 6 days. At the peak of the action, nearly 50,000 newspapers had gone undelivered. 557 carriers participated in the walkout. Finally, management agreed to a 12% raise. They also agreed to end the practice of garnishing wages for delinquent subscription fees. The paper also reinstated four workers who had been fired due to the walkout. The newspaper carriers had shown the power of collective action. Extra, extra, read all about it. Workers stand together and win better wages, hours, and conditions. Now that's a headline worth reporting. Like what you hear? Check out more at laborhistoryin2.com. So Philip Esformes, you may remember that name, as Trump was leaving office, granted him clemency. Evidently, Mr. Esformes was one of the, evidently was engaged in one of the largest fraud schemes in healthcare history. An enormous scandal. And was tried, convicted on a number of counts. I think it was 5 years, less than 5 years into a 20-year sentence. And of course, Trump bailed him out. Now, this is a guy who lived the high life. You know, beach house in Miami, luxury cars, designer clothes, high price escorts, something Trump knows a little bit about. He walked out of federal prison, thanks to Donald Trump. Now the Justice Department is going back and charging him with the charges that he wasn't convicted on, that had no verdict. Evidently, the jury was unable to come to a verdict on six charges, including the most serious of the charges, which is conspiracy to commit healthcare fraud. This is kind of a big freaking deal. Now, the question, and this is the weird thing, because in the past, you know, it's one of those things you let sleeping dogs lie. You know, we've allowed presidents to pardon people and grant clemency so that people get out of jail, and you just leave it alone. Well, the Biden administration's going back and going, wait a second. This kind of is one of the largest ever healthcare scams in the history of the country. And why not go back and charge what he's still able to be charged on? Now, the things he was convicted of and granted clemency for, you know, those are done. That you can't touch those. Now, what's interesting is the right-wing talk radio, right-wing cable news, the blogosphere, the Trumps, the red hats. They're all going, this is the deep state. The deep state's going after poor Mr. Esformes. And look, it's an interesting thing because, you know, you do want to honor the presidential powers, even if sometimes you go, wait a second. That seems a little, I don't know, self-serving. Seems a little questionable because it's supposed to be that the president is able to right wrongs. That if someone was, you know, convicted and they maybe shouldn't have been, or there was a questionable conviction, you know, if there were things that, you know, I don't know, was no real evidence. You know, we hear a lot of these murder trials based on, you know, circumstantial evidence and eyewitness testimony, you know, the least reliable testimony of any type of testimony. You know, you could go, okay, well, we're gonna grant clemency to someone who spent 20 years in jail for a murder that maybe they didn't commit, that all the evidence points that it probably wasn't them. That's what it's supposed to be for. Not ensuring that your rich buddies get to go back to criming. Now, as for me, someone who goes, you know, I want rich criminals held accountable. You go, yeah, I kind of want this to happen, but I also go, you know, this is again, we're destroying norms of the past. So I'm curious, you know, which side of this are you on? Do we go after the big fraudster and hold him accountable again? Or do we allow sleeping dogs to lie and allow that presidential power to exist? Email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com, because I'm on the fence about this.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.